Thank you for listening to the LA Catholic Morning Podcast. To help us broadcast all the good, true, and beautiful, please go to our support page on archangelradio.com.
Time to wake up, Lower Alabama. Ha ha! From the original home of Mardi Gras, moon pies, and more, this is LA Catholic Morning.
Going home to Alabama, all the way to where the ocean meets the road.
Good morning. Can't believe I'm saying this again. It's another rainy morning here in Mobile and along the Eastern Shore. Welcome in. I'm Ellen Taylor. Todd's out for the rest of the week. In case anyone's wondering, he's okay. But I got Rip and Mike here. And Rip, I noticed the Florida Gator helmet made its way into the studio for the big game.
Yes,
Rip, of course, is a diehard Florida Gator fan. And so
nobody's perfect.
It pushed my University of Miami helmet to the back because they have been defeated.
Hey, they had their chance.
Yes.
They had their chance.
So now the Gators step up to the plate. Nobody had a Mercer helmet for last week. Saying that.
No.
Lots of wet weather. We've got some changes, right? St. Michael game
tonight.
Yes,
St. Michael game is going to be at the Lip.
Okay.
So still on 1410 AM, 94.5 FM, of course, the phone app.
The field
is going to be, of course, wet with all the weather. So with artificial turf, as you know.
Yeah, it's going to drain better.
It'll drain better.
And it won't tear up the field,
you know, because we have to keep in mind that Fairhope plays there tomorrow. I forgot who they're playing offhand, but yeah.
Well, that's good. St. Michael crowd will get over to the Lip and experience the game. As Mike said, you can hear it here on the main station, 1410 AM, 94.5. Pregame 6:30, game time at 7.
Yep. So
today we have the feast days of St. Cornelius and Cyprian. Thank you. I knew I'd say that wrong. They were in this, like, the second century. There were a lot of heresies and things going on then. And St. Cornelius was pope, I believe, or elected pope. And so they kind of sorted out a lot. There was a lot of things to sort out in those early days, but God has blessed his church and said the gates of hell will not prevail against it, and so we rely on that promise. So we will pray this morning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. God, our Father, in Saints Cornelius and Cyprian, you have given your people an inspiring example of dedication to the pastoral ministry and constant witness to Christ in their suffering. May their prayers and faith give us courage to work for the unity of your church. Grant this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We thank our sponsor, Spring Hill College. Considering a nursing career, SHC's nursing program ranks number one in Alabama for 2021. Spring Hill College is nationally recognized for preparing nursing students for today's world. To see the top-ranking nursing division and other programs, visit shc.edu today.
And in world news, Bishop Kevin Sweeney of Patterson wrote to clerics of his diocese yesterday to strongly encourage their vaccination against COVID-19. Non-medical exemptions, he said, will be minimal, and there may be discussion of whether non-vaccinated priests can remain in active ministry. Pope Francis said yesterday that the Catholic Church is firm in its stance on abortion because abortion is murder, and urged priests to be pastoral rather than political when faced with the question of who can receive communion. A Nigerian Catholic priest kidnapped at his parish residence on Monday has been freed. Father Benson was abducted by armed persons from his residence at St. Matthew's, and of course he was freed. Friction between pragmatists and ideologues in the Taliban leadership has intensified since the group formed a hardline cabinet last week that is more in line with their harsh rule in the 90s than their recent promises of inclusiveness. French President Emmanuel Macron announced the death of Adnan Abu-Wahid al-Sarraghi overnight. According to Macron's office, al-Sarraghi personally ordered the killing of 6 French aid workers and their Nigerian colleagues last year, and his group was behind, of course, the 2017 attack that killed U.S. and Niger military personnel. The White House offered yesterday to connect Nicki Minaj, the rapper, with one of Biden's administration doctors to address her questions about about the COVID-19 vaccine after the Trinidadian-born rapper's erroneous tweet alleged the vaccine causes impotence went viral. And in sports,
that was funny.
Yeah, that was. And in sports, Urban Meyer shot down the rumor that he was interested in the USC coaching job. So good for him for stepping up.
It's too soon.
Yes, I was going to say.
Wait a couple more weeks.
Saban also said that he was not interested in the Alabama job back in 2007. And we know what happened there.
It always ties back to Alabama.
It always does.
On the phone with us, joining us this morning, Dr. Chris Ram, and he's here to talk to us about the 40 Days for Life campaign that's going to kick off in Mobile. Welcome aboard, Dr. Ram, and thank you for being us. I know this has been a hard time. And our listeners may know that your beautiful wife, May, who so many times has come on this station to talk about this project, has passed away in just the last few weeks. So our prayers are with you and your family as well.
Thank you, Alan and Mike. I appreciate it. And it really is. It's a hard time, but it's also a hard time for our country. And of course, as May's passion, we're here to support, you know, women and their choices for life. And it's been a hard time for the unborn in our country, unfortunately, for decades.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate all the prayers. I appreciate all the support. You know, I miss May terribly, but she continues to work with us, and she is with us on this journey to try to end abortion in our country.
Mm-hmm.
We are kicking off the 26th campaign, and as always, we pray that it's the last one we need in Mobile, because our community overall is a pro-life community. We have a lot of support for life here in our community, and I'm so thankful for that, and May was too. And, you know, our goal is to help women realize that the choice is really simple, that, you know, life is life, and we want to protect it from conception to natural death, and that, you know, abortion is not the answer to their problem, but it just begins a whole other set of problems for them, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we're praying for these women. We're having a kickoff rally this Saturday at the Women's Resource Center. Marty Correll has always been a big supporter of 40 Days for Life, and she also always helps us out and allows us to use her grounds for our rallies and all across the street from Planned Parenthood, which ironically is across the street from Chuck E. Cheese.
Yeah.
So we will be there Saturday. We're praying the weather will clear for us. You know, there's a lot of things we can control. The weather's not one of them. But, you know, we're going to be there, and hopefully we'll have a break in that weather so that we can enjoy the hot dogs, get together. Instead of a speaker, we're going to have a lot of our 40 Days for Life participants and all basically just, you know, discuss memories of May and what she's done over the last 40 years and, you know, how she's impacted lives, but also to try to inspire more people to get out to the sidewalk during our rallies and, you know, go to our website at www.40daysforlife.com/mobile.
Mm-hmm.
The national 40 Days for Life is just www.40daysforlife.com. You can find, but you will get all the information if you go to our website, which is 40daysforlife.com/mobile. You can log in, get yourself logged in. You can go to the vigil calendar, sign up. At our rallies and things like this, we talk to people who've never been out there before. Of course, we're a peaceful group. You have to sign a promise of peace to go out to the sidewalk, but to be part of our group, 40 Days for Life, because we're not, you know, shouting at people and screaming, and we're not, you know, really, having any kind of controversy. In my view, I've been out there, you know, every campaign, and it's been very peaceful. We're just there to pray for the women. And if you do nothing but show up for an hour a week and just say a rosary or pray, if you're not Catholic, just say your prayers, speak to the Lord, ask Him to help these women. It's just so helpful. We know that statistically, there's a 75% decrease in activity at these clinics when we're on the sidewalk. So the no-show rate goes up 75% when we have prayerful people on the sidewalk. And that just gives these women time to maybe talk to somebody, maybe, you know, change their mind, or really consider what they're actually doing. Because to a large degree, our society has hammered home everything but the humanity of the unborn. And so, you know, we have to, you know, just help these women realize that this is a person that God has created. And, you know, we want to cherish that life, and whether adoption or keeping their baby, you know, that we're there to help. The Women's Resource Center, Tubi Pregnancy Center, of course, Spanish Fords Women's Center. We have a lot of centers there that can help. And then we have a list of contacts that they can call as well. So we're not there just to tell them not to have an abortion. We're there to tell them there's help, and there's, you know, people that will give them help along the way. And the Women's Resource Center and 2B Pregnancy Centers and Mary Shelters and things like this will actually help these women through the first few years of that baby's life. So, you know, we really are out there to just stand up for life. And we just ask for everyone to come, you know, help us get a good kickoff Saturday, 10 to noon. Please go to the website. May did so many things that I don't even know all she did.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm finding out from people that I don't even know how she impacted this activity, that activity. So pray for me and my daughter, Jennifer, who, she's a physician herself, and she, you know, is really stepping up and doing a lot of, you know, picking up a lot of pieces and helping us. The overwhelming donations that we have received, you know, from May's celebration of life has been just humbling. So, you know, unfortunately, hadn't had a chance to get signs and all like this. I will have some rally signs out there for people who want to have them at the sidewalk. But, you know, we'll be, you know, talking to people interested in getting yard signs, T-shirts, that kind of thing. And we will, again, start trying to supply those things. But, again, that's one of the things May did that I didn't quite pick the ball up on time, but we are just so humbled by all the prayer and support.
Thank you, and that's perfectly understandable, Dr. Rem. And it's just such a blessing that you and your daughter Jennifer are still finding the time. And I know people are going to pour in their support. So if our listeners can come to the rally, show support for the kickoff for 40 Days for Life. As Dr. Rem said, it's at 718 Downtowner Loop West in Mobile, 10 a.m. Saturday, the kickoff for the 40 Days for Life. And again, go to 40daysforlife.com/Mobile, and you can sign up and get more information.
And Alan, the actual 40 Days for Life campaign starts September 22nd and runs through Halloween, October 31.
Perfect.
And our closing rally will be November 1st.
Great. So all that information available at the website. Dr. Rem, thank you for joining us this morning. We keep all of you in our prayers here.
Well, God bless all of you, and thank you so much for having me on such short notice, Al.
That's
have a great day.
Fine. You too. God bless him and his family. Oh, my. You know, just the good work people are doing in any way in their life. And it really is putting our faith into action. So we really got to pray for Dr. Chris Rem and his family and all the people involved in the 40 Days for Life.
And I really miss, you know, May Rem's, text to me saying, hey, let's talk about the pro-life rally. She's always so excited, such a strong supporter of life. So we need more like her.
Yeah. We've got a guest in studio now as we roll on LA Catholic Morning. Debbie Jones is stepping in. And Debbie, welcome into the studio, into the program.
Good morning.
We wanted to have Debbie in because people's lives are so impacted by just getting a nugget of the faith and then following that thread where it leads them. And Debbie, Mike, you encountered Debbie and you said, Ellen, you got to have her
I
on
did.
The air because her story is impactful. So why don't you open up? Are you a cradle Catholic or a convert?
Yeah, I'm a cradle Catholic.
Okay. Okay, that's good. So you had the a Catholic family life?
Went to Catholic school. My mom was an Italian Catholic, so.
Yes. Oh, those are big Catholics. Yeah.
Big Catholic. But yes, cradle Catholic and.
Did you practice the faith? Did your family go to Mass regularly?
My father was not Catholic.
Okay.
My mother was Catholic, and yes, we went to Mass every weekend.
Okay.
Got married to my husband, Jed. And
in the Catholic Church?
In the Catholic Church. Have three children.
Uh-huh.
We went to Mass every day.
Uh-huh.
started, you know, I always knew what my calling was going to be, what my vocation was going to be. It was going to be a wife and a mother.
Okay.
I knew that. So when I had my first child, it was not a question for me to go back to work.
Right.
But then after I had my second child, I started thinking that, you know, if I could find a job where I could keep my hand in my skill and still be a mom, that would be great. So I prayed for it. And the job that I got in the infertility reproductive medicine was kind of fell into my lap.
Right. And that is the deceptive kind of feel to it, because on the exterior, you're helping with life and you're helping to create families and you're helping to create life. But there's also some pitfalls, and it's really hard, I think, as young women, as Catholics, because the doctors will tell us, well, all these kinds of things are beautiful and they're helped to create family. And I found, and I don't know if you did, that sometimes you're not properly formed, or your faith is not strong enough to counteract some of those arguments they're giving to you on why this is a good and beautiful thing. So it is some challenges. So you got a job in there, and how did that start to go?
It was great. And when I first started working in this field, it was on an as-needed basis. It
right.
wasn't every day. It kind of built up to that, where it was just always part-time. And I was always home by noon. It was the perfect job to be a stay-at-home mom and have a job and keep my skill up. And
right.
It was an answered prayer.
Yeah. And was that here in the Alabama area? Have you always been here?
It,
okay.
It was across the bay.
Okay. All right. So you are cruising along and you're working in this job that fits with your young family and your lifestyle.
I had a wonderful sister that kept my two little ones, because they were little.
Yes.
And I was always home, like I said, pretty early. Sometimes I was home at 10:30. Sometimes I was home at 11. The latest I ever worked was 1. So
right.
It was, again, just perfect. It was a perfect fit.
And were you practicing the faith and,
oh, yes.
and going to church everything? Okay.
Going to Mass. My kids were, when I started the job, they weren't in school because they were little, but they all went to Catholic school, graduated from McGill Tulane.
Okay.
I have one at St. Michael's now. He's a senior. It was everything was going along great. I was going to Mass. I was checking that box.
Yeah.
You know, thinking that I was living the Catholic faith the way that, you know, I was supposed to.
Right. And that's interesting, because for many Catholics, particularly cultural Catholics, you're from an Italian background, I'm from an Irish background, our families, culturally, generations, you went to church. But it seems particularly prevalent in the last couple decades that the world kind of chipped away at our Catholic family values. And so you're still in church every week. You're still calling yourself a faithful Catholic, but I don't really believe this about the church, so I'm just going to put that in this box over here. And I'm still going to stay on my path of Catholicism. And I think where the rubber meets the road in these kinds of situations is when your conscience kind of reminds you that you can't really put your faith into a box and put it on the shelf Monday through Friday while you're at work, and then come back on Sunday and everything's fine. And then meanwhile, you're trying to instill values into your children, and they're in Catholic school and they're bringing you questions and things like that.
That's where Archangel Radio came into play. Archangel Radio, when y'all came on the air, that was the beginning of the end of my career in infertility.
And that's interesting, because we hear that often. People are it's God kind of using those moments in life to kind of talk to you in the quiet when you're alone. Maybe you're in your car and you're starting to listen to things like that.
That's exactly what happened.
You know, Mike, I'd like to take the break just a bit early, because I like to get out of the way, because I want to dive into what
absolutely.
Debbie is talking about and how her conscience was moved, because I think it's a place so many of us had been.
Absolutely.
So stick with us here. We're going to continue the conversion story, well, of her renewal of her conversion story with Debbie Jones here on Archangel Radio. So stay with us.
Heart lives by the bay. If home is where the heart is, then my heart lives by the bay.
Welcome back. Welcome back to LA Catholic Morning. I don't know any other sponsor in that promo for the AHSA show, but that with Wickle Pickles.
I always have to have Rick play that.
I'm Ellen Taylor. Welcome back into the show on this rainy Thursday morning. Debbie Jones is in studio. We've been talking about her. She's a cradle Catholic, been going to church regularly, big Italian Catholic traditional family. Yet you got a job part-time at a infertility clinic. And then you started listening to Archangel Radio, and then things starting to happen.
Yes.
And so take us down that path. What kind of things were you experiencing?
Just different shows. Todd, for one, just drew me in to Archangel Radio with his enthusiasm and his love for the Catholic Church. So I would listen to Archangel Radio on the way to work. I would listen to it on the way home from work. Further down the years, I'd listen to it in the car line. I was always listening to it.
Right.
And anyway, I would just hear things on the radio, and I would why don't I know that?
Yes.
I'm a cradle Catholic. My mother was Italian Catholic. Yeah. I should know that.
Uh-huh.
And so I would call them God pokes. I think God was poking me, you know, when I would hear these things. And then through the years, I would get things like, I would call them God's zingers.
Right.
And an example of that would be I would be scanning. I would be scanning a patient, and we got to talk, because you get to know them really well, and you get to talking. And I guess I was talking about my kids at McGill, and she just said, "Oh, you're Catholic. I didn't think you would work here and be a Catholic." And I was like, "Oh, that was one of the zingers. That was a slap.
It made you think.
That was more than a poke. That was a slap." And just different things. Speaking about the 40 days of life, I would go and say the rosary. And at one point, we had gotten our logo and where we worked on our scrubs. And I can remember going to say the rosary at Planned Parenthood and wanting to take my top off because I felt like a hypocrite.
Yes.
And it he gently got me there. And then the laws changed I think it was January 2015, where they started, they legalized same-sex marriage. So things were really going to start changing
in where you were working. Because you worked in an infertility clinic, which was trying to create families for
And that
people.
Was my go-to. You know, that was, and deep down inside, I must have knew it wasn't right, because I would always, my go-to would be, God knows my heart. He knows that I truly feel like I'm not doing anything wrong. I'm helping a husband and a wife, you know, with their dream of having a child.
Yeah. And I shared with you in the break, and I've shared this with our listeners, too, when I was married back when I lived in Florida, and I was young, and I was I was not married in the church. It was a period of time I was away from the church, and I was sharing with Debbie, when things are built on sand, they don't last. And so I was at the infertility clinic, and they have all the rosy, happy story. They got the bulletin boards with the babies on it, and you just think, well, I'm trying to do something good. And that feeling of doing good, I didn't want to know the peripheral things. And you're right. I don't think my upbringing either, and I don't think our Catholic schools back at that time really infused what the position was on the Catholic Church in a lot of life issues. And so you don't even know these things, and you just think you're just plugging along, and you go to church, and you're praying, and it's all good. God loves us. But I think, you know, none of us are lost to him. Our good and our desire to know God is going to supersede these false promises the world brings us on how that can become about. And so I think that's what happened to you. I know it happened to me, and I walked out of there one day, and I was like, never, this is not what I need to be doing. And it was like a bolt of lightning hit me. So you're working there now.
I'm working there, and then the laws changed, and so some of the things were going to change at where I worked. And just morally, I just knew that it was time for me to leave, and I knew that's what God was wanting me to do, without a doubt.
Right.
But, you're on this emotional roller coaster, and I'm like, there was just mixed emotions. I was angry. I was like, why? This is perfect. This job fell into my lap. This was an answered prayer. So I couldn't understand at first, but then it changed as I went through the process. It turned into, you know, him affirming to me every day when I was, because of course I started praying more, went to the Adoration Chapel more,
right.
Going to Mass every day. And so, you know, it changed. It went from being upset and angry to leaving, having to leave a great job to, I've got a better plan for you, Debbie. Just trust me.
Uh-huh.
And so, and he did. He sent me, whether it was something that I heard on Archangel Radio, if it was a book that I was reading. I was reading two books. One was about a couple going through infertility,
mm-hmm.
that I was reading. And the other one was Teresa Tomeo's The Bucket List, and about her having to change her job.
Uh-huh.
Because where her job was taking her. And so it was just like, and also had this daily prayer book that he really used. It was another tool. Between that and the books and y'all, I knew without a doubt what he was asking me to do.
Right.
And he affirmed it every day. And my son came to me one day, my youngest one, when I was upset. And he said, Mom, mm-hmm. I'm so proud of you. You stick with God.
Aww.
And I was like, that was my affirmation for that day.
Mm-hmm.
So,
But sometimes it takes us mentally to get there.
It does. And Jesus was very gentle with me.
Yeah.
He was very gentle.
That's
like I said, it was like little pokes, and every now and then I'd get those slaps. And the scales just started falling mm-hmm. off. I decided it was time to take my blinders off. And
you know what's beautiful about that, and a lot of our listeners maybe can relate or are thinking in their life of those same moments, that God constantly is there with the gentle hand out. No, come, I have something better. I have a better plan. This is what they're selling you is not real, but I'm here when you are ready, and I'm going to slowly give you these reminders of where the path is. And so I think that is beautiful for us as humans, is that God is not giving up on us, even when we are have our blinders on and we're down a path and we've rationalized that this is a good thing. But there's a better thing, and there's a fuller way to live in the love of Christ. So now you're down this path. Your scales have fallen off your eyes.
Your scales have fallen off.
And so what did you do?
Before I did all this, I did, you know, talk to, you know, a priest.
Right.
And got counsel from him. And
uh-huh.
And I knew what he was going to say. He never, ever told me to quit my job. He just taught me what the church taught about
right.
IVF. And uh-huh. so, and I knew, you know, because I had already started doing my own little research. And so
uh-huh.
I knew. So anyway, I got a resignation together, and I, you know, talked to my husband. And
mm-hmm.
he was very supportive.
Yes.
You know, I went to him, I mean, initially just crying. I said, I can't do it anymore. I've got to be able to sleep at night.
Yeah.
Morally, it's time for me to leave.
Uh-huh.
So anyway, got a resignation together with his help, because
uh-huh.
I'm not very good at that kind of
thing. Yeah, well, those are always big, big things in life.
Mm-hmm. And this really started like the 1st of January of 2015. Uh-huh. And so I was going to turn in my resignation. I think it was the last Friday in February.
Uh-huh.
And, again, just hesitant, you know, just not wanting to let go
yes.
of what I had, I decided I was going to go out to the car
uh-huh.
and pray about it one more time.
Yeah.
And so I did. And what I heard, and I'll have to explain this a little bit, but what I heard in my head was, if you turn in this resignation, that feeling will go away.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And what that meant for me was, because, you know, like the last few days or several days prior to that, all I could feel was God's love.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he just, that veil was just lifted enough for me to really feel his love. It was just like he was hovering over me. He
mm-hmm.
never left my side.
Mm-hmm.
And then the peace that I got was a supernatural peace. It was a peace that is really hard to describe, that if anything was to happen tragically to me or any of my family members, I would have been completely at peace.
Yeah.
That's the kind of peace he gave me.
Yeah.
So for whatever reason, I guess it was me being human and the stupid devil made me want to go out to the car
uh-huh.
and pray about it one more time.
Uh-huh.
And then he says that,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't turn it in. And that was a Friday.
Oh, wow.
That was a Friday.
I thought you were going to come
no.
back with, I got peace and I went and turned it in.
No, and like I said, because that feeling, I didn't want the feeling to go away. I was just, I mean, I've never felt that kind of love and his presence and
right.
that peace, and I didn't want it to go away. So I didn't turn it in. And then the next day, Saturday, I went to morning mass,
uh-huh.
and it was probably I can put it up there with the death of my mom and my dad. It was one of the worst days of my life. I could not even look at the altar because the crucifix was there. And I just kept looking at the crucifix, and I was like, you know, Debbie, look what he did for you.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the torment and the torture that he went through because of your sins. And you can't give up a job for him.
Mm-hmm.
He's done showed you how much he loved you. Mm-hmm. And I was just... I felt so unworthy. Needless to say, I did not go to communion that day. And
uh-huh.
I, you know, when Mass was over, I waited till I could get Father alone, and I'm sobbing, uh-huh. going to my knees, and Father reassures me that it's okay. And I know that the next day I probably spent most of the day in Adoration Chapel, and that Monday I decided that I was going to go in there, and first thing right off the bat, I wasn't going to do anything but go straight to the office, and I turned it in.
Uh-huh.
And I told him this was the hardest thing I had to do.
Uh-huh.
And I left and went and did my job and then talked to him afterwards.
Uh-huh.
And I haven't looked back.
No.
Not 1 minute.
He always gives a path, a better path.
Oh, yes, he does. And it was, and all the things that I worried about, finances, he's taking care of it all.
Yeah.
He's taking care of it all.
I think your story probably resonates with a lot of them, whether you're a man or a woman, because there's so many things in life that we cling to that we think we can't give up to live an authentic life following Christ. And if we just let go, we will find that peace. We will have another path. It might not be the path we imagined, and it's certainly not going to have its own challenges, but it's going to be a path that is full of the peace of Christ and love. And I think that that is essential. So many of us live in our world with this anxiety, and if we just kind of laid it out there and let it go, we might find we're doing things that are on a path that are not following Christ and our faithful life as Catholics. And if we just nudged and got off of that we would find a better way.
Take that leap.
Yeah.
And it was a leap of faith, and he told me to trust him, and I did, and and I just wished I had done it sooner.
I think that's always the case. I mean, I even look back at things that I stumbled on. Oh, boy, did I mess up some in my youth. And I'm like, God, why couldn't I have been one of those people that stayed on the right path, you know, all the way through, and look how much better I'd be. But he said, you know, always free will. So he lets us go where we're going to go.
Yes, he does.
And he's always there to wait for us when we come back and embrace us and be like, this is okay. And I think even though I went down a different path, as you did, and I got waylaid on things not Catholic or Christian, that coming back, I can authentically speak about God's love in such a greater way that if I'd not been on that path, because you take those experiences like you have, you can counsel a young family or a young woman that's struggling with infertility and is looking at the golden carrot over here and the promise of a family and a child, and that will make you happy, that will fulfill you. But if not done in love with Christ and how he wants us to create families, then it's not done authentically. And you can speak to that now.
Yes. Yes. You know, if you just take that leap, you just start taking the leap, people. Just take the leap. If you're out there and you're, you know, trying to decide if you'd take a leap of faith, take it, because he loves you.
Yeah. And the world will tell us there's a way and a path that you can equally serve God and equally go to your Catholic Church, and you can do all these things that are going to make your life happy here in the temporal world. But we know not. I mean, when you live in the fullness of your faith, and it's a challenge. I mean, and I'm going to sit here and say it's easy. You're not going to sit here and say it's easy. It is just, but having the faith to know and taking the guidance and,
You know, my employer, he asked me before I left, what are you going to do?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I don't have a plan. I said, I've just told Jesus I'm his. Put me where you need me to be the light that you need me to be.
Exactly.
And that's,
and Debbie Jones, that's a beautiful testament. Thank you for coming in the studio and sharing that, especially as we kick off 40 Days for Life. We are Catholic, and life in all its elements. Don't buy into these lies of the world. We can create a life-loving God in his plan and his way.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Coming up next, Adam McLeod. Oh, we're going to talk about vaccine mandates. Well, just throw it on here, Mike. Stay with us here. LA Catholic Morning continues.
Home is where the heart is, and my heart lives by the faith. Come on now, who do you think you are? Bless your soul.
Welcome back to LA Catholic Morning. Ellen Taylor here. Mike and Rip over at the Command Center. On the line, we have regular guests to the show, Professor of Law at Faulkner in Montgomery. Adam McLeod joins in with us because, Adam, we've got a lot of questions about these vaccine mandates. So we're going to a big brain like you to break down what we should think about all of this. So thanks for joining us.
Yeah, my pleasure. Always great to be on.
Yeah. So I'm not confused. I'm kind of appalled that, just in my personal thoughts is that the government can regulate you taking specific medications and tell you that that's the only way to do it. And so with these mandates that came out last week, I guess first thing, do they have the legal footing to stand on? And I guess we should start there.
Yeah, well, I think the easy answer is no.
Okay.
And I think we need to observe right off the bat that, those of us who are concerned about this, it's not necessarily hysteria or conspiracy theories. I mean, if you listen to NPR or read CNN, that's the impression you get. It's
right.
Only, hysterical right-wing nut jobs who are worried about this. But mm-hmm. No, I mean, there's actually four independent reasons why people might rationally object to Biden's mandate.
Mm-hmm.
And they're related in some ways, but they're independent, and they're reasons. And the first, of course, is people have reasons right now to be skeptical of public health experts.
Yeah.
And it's important to emphasize, we're not talking about healthcare professionals, frontline, mm-hmm. Doctors and nurses. We're talking about the elites who run around to conferences and tell us things like, a boy who identifies as a girl is actually a girl.
Right.
Or that there's no chance that this was developed in a laboratory in China. Those folks.
Yes.
And the second reason is that governments, even if you think the vaccine is a moral mandate, mm-hmm. governments shouldn't be in the business of mandating it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third is, even if you think governments should, the United States government does not have that power. It belongs to the states and the local governments.
Mm-hmm.
And then the fourth is, even if you think that the United States government has that power, it doesn't belong to the executive branch. It belongs to the legislative branch, because the legislative branch is the branch that represents us, the people. And if we're going to suspend our civil liberties in this way, then we, the people, are the ones who have reserved the powers to make that decision. And you could oppose the mandate on any of those four grounds, and you would be on very, very solid footing in terms of your rationale.
I actually like how you laid that out for us, because with each step, if you agree, but you can disagree. So the government using OSHA, which is a workforce oversight regulatory, I guess, organization or committee. So them kind of back channeling it that way, does that have any legal footing for that case?
Yeah, that's one of the many problems here.
Mm-hmm.
OSHA, of course, is Occupational Safety and Health Administration. OSHA's power comes from Congress, and Congress conferred power on OSHA to protect employees from unscrupulous employers. It didn't give OSHA power to protect us from each other. That's just not part of OSHA's purpose, and therefore it's not part of OSHA's legal authority. And so, if Congress wants to expand OSHA's authority, Congress can do that within constitutional limitations. But that should be a matter for Congress to decide, and then we should have a very public deliberation about this.
This seems to be part of a bigger trend, which is the government, in whatever level it's at, seem to randomly just changing laws or putting new edicts out or executive orders, irregardless of where the law sits on if they can do that or not do that. And it's very frustrating as a citizen is that all of a sudden one day you wake up, oh no, this is now a mandate. And we, the people, seem to have just accepted this a little bit too freely to our detriment, because once they see that the people are willing to accept these small things, and they kind of go for bigger things. And now we've kind of, we really have ourselves in a pickle, because there are very obvious reasons why some people would not want to be compelled to take a vaccine like this. Have we kind of dug our own hole in this situation at this point?
Yeah, and there's a history here that needs to be retold and remembered. And it's not a happy history. It's not a history to celebrate. So the vaccine mandates, the precedents for the vaccine mandates actually come from the early 20th century, what's known as the progressive era of American history. And there's two components, and they go to the first two reasons I mentioned. One is we're supposed to defer to the experts, on questions of not just scientific matters, but also, you know, ethics and morality and law and constitutionalism.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so, you know, if you look at the Biden administration's propaganda piece that they put out in support of this thing, it goes to great lengths to explain that this is science-based, based on the best and most sciencey science, and therefore science, and so therefore science.
Yes.
And you wonder why they need to use the word science so much. Well, you know, I learned, I don't know what you learned, but I learned that the scientific method is a method of inquiry.
Yes.
Where you're supposed to falsify hypotheses and have some intellectual humility to understand the truth. I didn't know that science was a source of religious dogma, much less constitutional dogma. And then the second piece, which we need to remember, is everyone keeps citing the Supreme Court precedent which ratified mandatory vaccinations way back in 1905. The, mm-hmm. the case is called Jacobson versus Massachusetts. But people need to understand that precedent, which, by the way, abrogated centuries and centuries of precedents securing the common law right of bodily integrity.
Mm-hmm.
This is very closely connected to the common law doctrine of battery, where if I touch you without your consent, I've committed a legal wrong. It's where we get the doctrine of informed consent in the medical law context.
Mm-hmm.
And that decision abrogated that right. And that precedent was used for the eugenics programs 20 years later, for the Tuskegee syphilis experiments, where African-Americans just up the road from me here were involuntarily and unknowingly subjected to medical experimentation. It was used as a precedent in Roe versus Wade for the abortion experiments that we're now still suffering from. And this is not ancient history, by the way. There's mm-hmm. still, you know, forced sterilization orders being used in places in the United States today. So this is a part of our history. If you're looking for systemic racism, it's right there. And so this is a part of history that we really haven't had an honest conversation about, but we need to look at very, very carefully. And we need to be very, very cautious about allowing precedents which could ever be used to infringe rights of bodily integrity of any populations.
You've laid it out pretty well. So we've got right now a situation where we've got overreach by government agencies from the executive office down to OSHA and various administrations. And so this is laid out here. Where are we today? I know people, I see news stories, well, we're going to file this case or do things. In this world of immediate reaction, I feel like we should all just say no. But it feels like this is still trying to get tentacles in. Like, for example, I'm reading just, you know, being a Catholic radio station, what are Catholic dioceses around the country saying? And you see some saying, well, we're going to follow this mandate. Well, we haven't even found out if the mandate's going to stand up, the law of it. And then others saying they're not going to follow it. So what should our immediate response be today if some of our listeners are encountering this pushback at their employment?
Yeah, so, I think there's an important principle at play here that countervails on the other side, which mm-hmm. is the rule of law.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to encourage people to be lawless. Now we need to observe there that the Biden administration itself is being lawless with this mandate, completely disregarding the Constitution, completely disregarding the inherent limits on its own legal powers.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's really, really hard when our elected officials act lawlessly than to respect their legal edicts. But nevertheless, you know, two wrongs don't make a right. So we certainly don't want to encourage lawlessness. But there are channels that people can pursue.
Okay.
I do think it's important for the states right now, for governors and attorneys general to be working together. And people, your listeners, as well as other, conscientious citizens, should be contacting state officials. They should be contacting their state legislators and their attorney generals and their governor. I was very pleased to see our own governor here in Alabama, that her first instinct was correct, as it often is, and to say, well, that ain't right.
Right.
And, you know, she ought to be encouraged in that. I think that the conversation that we're having right here, right now, is an important conversation to have. People need to renew their civics lesson. They need to understand where these precedents come from and how they've been used. And people need to remember what kind of governments we have. We have a United States government of limited powers, and that's an important principle. We have inherent limits even on, and the principle, by the way, is which supports our Constitution in the United States, is that the most powerful governments should be those closest to the people,
mm-hmm.
right? So in American constitutional government, we call it federalism. There's a very similar principle in Catholic social teaching known as subsidiarity,
mm-hmm.
that centralized and distant powers should defer to more local more diffuse powers. The most important decisions should be made by the person you know personally, right?
Right.
As opposed to some expert in a white lab coat, who, by the way, is actively working to conceal the origins of the funding for this epidemic in the first place. So you know, there's reasons why we ought not trust people
mm-hmm.
whom we don't know, and that's the wisdom of our founders. I think there's an important principle there, and then similarly, there's an important principle at work in the inherent limits on powers of government to enforce mandates like this and to abrogate the long-standing fundamental right of bodily integrity. You know, it's interesting, the left is in favor of rights of bodily integrity when it comes to the abortion context,
mm-hmm.
or forcing nuns to pay for other people's contraceptives, but all of a sudden we're not hearing anything from the left about, you know, my body, my choice, when it comes to mandatory vaccines. We can ratify the right of bodily integrity, assuming we can identify whose body is actually being
mm-hmm.
Jeopardized by any particular act.
It's interesting, Adam.
That's part of our fundamental law.
It's interesting too. Some people on the far less, more the libertarian arm of things, are actively against this as well. So it's weird that certain people are coming together in joining forces and recognizing this is government overreach. Adam McLeod.
Yeah, and they have reasons.
Yeah. Thanks for joining us this morning, clarifying, laying out the law and the case for vaccine mandates. We appreciate it. Hopefully we'll join you. You'll join us again soon. There's a lot to discuss on this.
Yes, we will.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Adam. Looking for an adventure? Our sponsor, Coastal Segway Adventures, offers kayaking and paddleboard rentals for fun-filled, hassle-free days on Lake Shelby. To make your reservation, visit CoastalSegwayAdventures.com or call 251-509-TOUR. That's 251-509-8687. Coastal Segway Adventures, coast the Gulf and coast life. Mikey.
Yes, tomorrow, Tom McDonald.
Friday.
Yes, Friday. Come from away on Apple Plus. That's what Tom McDonald will preview. We'll talk with Randall Wright from the Fairhope Library about the film series about films that were filmed right here in Fairhope.
Oh, cool.
So, and then Father Patrick Gilbreth provides our Sunday Gospel reflection. And not to be remiss, Dr. Chris Ram wanted me to announce that there's going to be Dewdrop hot dogs, snow cones, face painting activities, and parking is going to be behind the Planned Parenthood Center.
Okay, so that's Saturday, 40 Days for Life kickoff rally. We'll talk to you tomorrow morning. St. Michael, tonight at the Lip.
That's right. Don't forget to call your mama. She loves you.